Warning! This program will contain massive spoilers and profanity for absolutely everything we discuss. Consider yourself warned.
Apparently, the rocket said no at T-minus 0.5 seconds.
What do you mean it said no?
That's what I asked.
Yeah. I didn't even know we could do that.
Nah, I'm not feeling it today.
Can we do this tomorrow? I'm tired.
The wind's blowing like a little too fast.
Honey, I have a headache. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Chilling Amongst the Mangoes, the stickiest review show on the internet. We've got Zeev with us.
Hello.
Gage, you owe him an apology.
Yes. I'm sorry.
Again? What? Yes. Why is it that it's become a theme of this podcast that every single time Zeev is on, you have to apologize to him?
Because apparently I'm a terrible person.
You're not a terrible person. I mean, you just lack human emotion.
I don't know. Yes. Terrible is the word for it. I think insensitive.
Yeah,
okay, maybe not insensitive.
That's a little mean.
Okay, yeah, no. Retract that. I'm apologizing.
Insensitive has a bad connotation to it. I think that is a little harsh.
Yeah.
You are oblivious of the emotion of your human companion.
Oblivious is a better word. I will go with that.
No,
yes.
My retention, not only am I oblivious, my retention is shit to the point where my boss has worked around the fact that I can't remember anything. So I take notes on absolutely everything I'm doing.
Contrary point, my boss has literally stopped remembering things because he knows I will.
No, but oblivious is a very good word.
Yes.
The way I fucked up this time was, Zeev pointed out in our retrospective episode, I failed to give him credit.
Oh, that's not why you need to apologize.
I mean, no. If you want to do that too,
be great. Okay, yeah, no, I fucked up a couple times. Yeah, I forgot about this.
Yeah, you have multiple fuck-ups. Is this adding more 30 seconds on?
Every time we do that, it squares itself, so... I'm kidding. Okay. Let's add another two to it.
Okay. All right. So
we have 33 more.
Oh, one more time. I like to refer to myself as snarky when I'm annoyed.
Yeah. Although when you get angry, we called him bitchy when he gets annoyed.
I didn't say bitchy.
I did. Gage did.
Yeah. But
I said sassy.
When you get annoyed and your voice pitches up a little bit, that's when you get a little sassy, a little bit bitchy, but like in the fun way.
I love sassy.
I do too.
Zeev.
I
hate
like,
the fact that there. I feel like times, especially in D&D, I'm like fishing for it. But
no, it's okay. Honestly, it could be fun sometimes as well. Okay.
It's a good way to let loose.
Yeah.
Two apologies. First, I did not credit you properly for being the one who introduced me to the Wonder Boys when we did our retrospective episode. And two, I did not properly inform you about the level of stuff that was happening in this movie that we're reviewing today, District 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, you kind of glossed over the fact that there are some horrifying aspects of this movie.
So I feel like the word apartheid would have covered some of
that. Okay, so let me talk about this, because you asked if I wanted to do District 9 with you guys, and I said, yeah, sure, I'll watch it. And then I asked, before I watch this, where should my expectations be?
See, this is the golden opportunity for Gage to say, this movie's kind of fucked up, but if you can get past that, mm-hmm. yada, yada, yada.
Right. Instead, he says, do you mind if I quote you?
Go ahead.
Okay. Science fiction, corporatism mirroring, South African apartheid, and the fight against an unjust system. Entire movie is done handheld, but it's done very well. I effing love this movie. Which is fair. I can see it, and I recognize all of that, and I like all of that. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize how gruesome
body horror, yes, torture.
This was very dark.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it was very dark.
Which is why, so you texted me while I was at work yesterday and said, mm-hmm. hey, we should have Zeev on. Do you want to see if he's available? And I'm like, it seems like a pretty heavy movie for Zeev, but if you want to ask him, go ahead. I'm at work. I'm busy right now. Mm-hmm. Like, go ahead. a part of that was trusting you to properly sell this movie. Granted, I had kind of assumed that Zeev had already seen it. Mm. When you texted me this morning and said, yeah, no, Zeev is out. He made it like 45 minutes in. I assumed it was the fingernails thing.
No, it was the...
That's about, what always gets me.
Yeah, it was about the shooting live test subjects part where I was like, nope, I'm out.
Yeah.
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 Gage has his hands folded in shame right now.
I can be very squeamish when it comes to torture and body horror in movies.
Yeah. There's body horror. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of the premise of the movie at some points.
So here's the thing. I have like a dark sense about things, and I sometimes forget other people don't.
Yeah.
We were talking about this actually before you got here. Mm-hmm. That you are robotic at times. Mm-hmm.
Don't take this the wrong way. No, we love you.
I describe myself as Vulcan.
I think that's giving yourself a little too much credit.
I prefer it over robotic.
Intelligence over wisdom.
Yeah, I'll take that.
I honestly, it's not even just intelligence is higher. It's wisdom's a dump stat.
Yeah, that's true.
Your insight is through the floor.
Yeah.
Apparently, they're going to try the rocket launch one last time at 3:55.
Okay.
Neat.
I'll keep you updated. One of my coworkers is currently watching the Terran 1 launch at the Space Center down in Florida. So, getting live updates on that.
Cool. So, I am sorry. The problem is, okay, there's a couple of problems. One is, I just remembered this movie being good and intense. And I remember the third act.
Intense is at least a good way to say, like, hey, it's intense. But like,
I remember the third act more than any other part of this movie.
Really? Because the third act was the part that I completely forgot about. Because
the second and the third act, I remember those. The first act where all the kind of where he's like on his like human downfall that I always
That's the part that I remember the most because the documentary style that they use as well as literally seeing the downfall of man it's just that's what sells this movie for the second and third act are amazing but they're also a little bit more generic
the third act does kind of devolve a little bit into just blind action but the second act and that
it's fully the first act that just seats me down into this world, and I love it. Mm. This movie, District 9, from 2009, directed by Neil Blomkamp, produced by Peter Jackson, who saw the short that Neil Blomkamp did.
Alive in Johannesburg in 2007.
Yes. And said, this just needs to be a full movie. starring Charlton Copley as Vicus Van de Merva. Mm-hmm. David James as Kubis, and there's other people as well.
Yeah.
It's basically a character piece starring Charlton Copley as Vicus Van de Merva.
Yeah. Who was in the... do you have any information on who played Christopher? Like, someone had to do the sound editing for his voice.
Yeah.
It was definitely a body double.
I was looking last night, and I didn't see anything, and I'm looking now, and I'm not seeing.
I liked how the aliens looked.
Oh,
I thought that was really
neat. The design of the alien was so very precise. Like, I remembered watching, when this originally came out, some featurettes talking about how they designed it. They wanted to make it seem sufficiently alien and creepy and off-putting, but they made sure to make the eyes as large and as emotively human as possible.
Yeah, they did a really good job with all of that.
Yeah, I have no information on who played Christopher, unfortunately.
The other thing I love is, so as the movie opens, we learn that 20 years ago, an alien spacecraft came to rest hovering above the city of Johannesburg, South Africa. It stayed there motionless for 3 months until the Africans drilled their way into the ship and found over 1 million refugees. They were starving, they were dying, they were malnourished.
We learn all of this in like documentary style.
Yeah.
Which is just
It's really I
loved that it was documentary style. I thought that was a really great way to.
I love that basically the entire first act is just a documentary style.
Yeah.
And then it slowly just turns into more point of view character piece.
Yeah. The thing I really remember about this is the trailers. When this was like first advertised, it like show it had that like documentary stuff. And it was like talking, and it looked like it was a movie about humans fighting other humans. And then it cuts to this giant alien ship and like aliens digging through the trash.
Mm-hmm.
And like that, just this like, oh, like it was like that trailer left an impression on me. And it was mostly cut up from like the first 5 or 10 minutes of this.
Never saw a trailer for this.
You never do, but I just wanted to share that. In the ship, they move about 1 million alien refugees down into a temporary housing district called District 9, which quickly becomes a slum.
Oh, hey, that's the name of the movie.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's fine.
There wasn't a lot of humor in this movie.
There
you gotta,
was
you
no,
gotta throw
no,
it out.
This was very serious.
Yeah.
But it's very good. South Africa hired a company called Multinational United, which is just above the James Bond company of Exportations International in terms of like genericness, but it still works as like this big faceless company.
Yeah.
They're a corporate mercenary group who were hired to police and handle the district, but after continual altercations with locals and the aliens, MNU is planning to relocate 1.8 million prawns, which is the derogatory name for the species, because we never actually know what they call themselves.
Right. They look kind of like prawns, so they just call them prawns.
Little
right.
buggy. To District 10, a refugee camp about 40 miles outside of the city. Like you said, mostly like documentary style,
mm-hmm.
And we meet our main character during one of these interviews, Vilkas. I keep calling
Vikas.
It's spelled with a W.
Right.
That's why I kept
Vikas van der Merwe.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what's so hard to get about this.
Okay, shut up. he is a mid-level bureaucrat in charge of giving the 24-hour notices to all the aliens in the district.
Mm-hmm.
And when they get into the district, we just see how absolutely, like, miserable it is. The cat food is used as catnip to the aliens. They freaking love it. Anywhere where there's low policing, there's going to be crime. So crime syndicate, I don't know if they ever had a...
They're just a Nigerian crime
syndicate.
They're
just a Nigerian crime syndicate who started making money by selling cat food at exorbitant prices.
My connection to like the cat food was like that it was like their opium, not necessarily like catnip.
We never really saw like... I think it was more just along the lines of...
They fucking loved the stuff.
They fucking loved the stuff. We didn't see, like... I feel like opium is a stretch of a description.
Maybe.
Opium is just like, you take it, you're down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like, this fair. Is just, like, it's... Also, of all the food that we see, cat food probably has the most nutritional value.
Okay.
So that's why I saw... That's how I saw it.
Like catnip. Yeah, no, that makes more sense now that I'm thinking about it more.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
When they get out of the car, out of their vans, we see one of the prawns chewing on an extra wheel of the vehicle, and a guard goes up to try to stop him, and the first like overt violence, the alien grabs his arms, kicks him in the chest, he goes flying back, and his arms stay in the spot, and then everyone else kills that particular alien.
We
see a little bit more and more of this this slum. There's an alien shrimp fighting contest. It's like cockfighting, but they're
more scorpion-esque.
Scorpion shrimps. Yeah, that's a good way to... Don't try to combine the words. It doesn't work.
Shrimpians?
Okay, I guess it does. You were going the other way.
Portmanteaus for the win. How do you know? I didn't even guess you were
saying it. Because I could hear it. And you were going to...
I was going to call them scrimpians, but okay.
I could see that too.
Okay, God damn it. They go around getting people's some of the aliens' signatures to sign off to acknowledge that they're going to be evicted and relocated. Most of the aliens they talk to just slap the paperwork out of the way, but the bureaucrat's like, "No, don't worry. Look, he left a mark with his hand, so we can count this."
He was like, "Yep, nope, that still works."
Yeah, he's been teaching his underling all the ropes, who doesn't have a bulletproof vest.
That seems like a bad idea.
He comes back later, just in a small way. Yeah, I do like that. Like back to it.
I did like that they like were able to understand each other. Like,
yes,
the aliens and people.
Yeah, no, that thing I love, that the humans were able to understand the aliens, but the aliens were physically unable to mimic human voice.
Right.
Yeah. Vickis shows off, "Hey, look at this childcare center," to his prodigy. And inside is a couple of cow carcasses feeding directly into some alien eggs. And the whole thing is set on fire, and he gives,
well, after he like pulls some tubes out.
Oh yeah. He's like
hands one to his,
security.
And he says, "Here you go. Your first, for your first abortion."
Fuck.
Yeah.
That's dark.
And it only gets darker.
We get a few more interviews where we learn that MNU is the world's second largest weapons development company, and the main reason they took on this job of policing the aliens was to get the new weapon tech from
alien
them.
Weaponry,
which unfortunately is all maintains biometric locks to the aliens, so humans physically can't activate or fire them. We then...
Oh, that's why they were using him to shoot the... Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, they couldn't... They kept trying to test the weapons, but they physically couldn't activate it without that binding DNA.
Okay. That... I can see that now. Okay.
We then get a shift... Like, it's still handheld, but whenever we're with the... This is the first, like, shift in the way the movie is shot... where we see two of the prawns digging through trash, looking for some old technology, for some of their old technology, and they have a little kid alien with them, and they find what they need, and they bring it back to their hovel and a chemistry kit, and that they drip a single drop out of the machine, it drips into a little container, it goes ding, and then seals up, and they're ecstatic. It has been, they have 20 years, and it's finally led to this. And then Vickis knocks on the door. I'm going to keep saying Vickis. I'm sorry.
The W's are V's. The W's are V's.
Yeah, I was the other problem is I could have written it phonetically in my notes, but I didn't. Because I wanted the notes to be accurate, so I wrote it with a W.
Write things the way you pronounce them.
I should.
But then everything would be mispronounced.
Okay, that's actually a fair point.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very attacked this
episode.
Yeah,
you should.
Yeah.
You're the bad guy.
I'm sorry. I'll stop.
You're both the straight man and the villain of Chilling Amongst the Mangoes.
I thought bad movies were the villain.
Eh.
Am I worse than The Ice Road?
Oh,
come back
boy.
To me later.
Mm.
I am so glad to be a part of this now.
Come back to me later. I'll have an answer.
All right.
Oh, wait. So what am I?
You're the shining beacon of hope.
Oh,
and kindness.
Thank you.
You remind me what a terrible person I am.
You remind me what a terrible person he is, too. You successfully drop him to the same playing field that I'm at.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel really happy about that.
Oh, wow.
Like, nothing puts Gage in his place more than being talked down to by Z.
The problem is he doesn't get mad at me that often. No. So, whenever he does...
I think the amount of times that he's gotten mad at you has exponentially increased since... the three of us are hanging out together.
I think so. Yeah. No. Yeah. But here's the downside. He's picking that up from you.
He's got a point.
Yeah. You know, happy to rub off on somebody.
any port in a storm, ain't it? I love my favorite thing is making him uncomfortable with sex jokes.
When does that happen?
Fairly often. You were talking about one day, you were talking about how you don't have a gag reflex, and I was just like, oh, that means that you're much better at sucking dick than I do.
I feel like I heard that in one of your episodes.
That wasn't an episode.
Yes.
I vaguely remember that.
And you zoned out in like shock.
The thing is, it's more so just like, why the fuck did you go there and I didn't? That shocks me. It's like how, like, the dynamic just shifts for a second before I need to like regain my composure when that happens.
And once in a while, I would throw one in and just everyone's surprised by it.
When everybody just kind of stops and stares.
When Zeev drops a one-liner, it's just like, oh my God. It's like witnessing a comet that comes by every 66 years. Okay, back to this kind of depressing movie.
Thank you for the moment of levity.
I'm sorry. I'm mostly trying to distract us because I didn't see this as much. Well,
to be fair, Gage started it by asking if he was worse than the ice road.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that answer.
No, you are marginally better than the ice road because at least I can physically slap you. I cannot physically slap a movie.
He's got a point.
You cannot kill an idea.
Exactly. I may not be able to kill the idea, Mr. Frodo, but I can kill you.
Oh my God. Wow. Wow. Oh, amazing. All right. So of the three aliens, there's the kid. There's one of them we learn will be named goes by the name of Christopher Johnson.
Yes.
And his friend who is he looks like he's been spray painted lightly yellow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I don't know if it was like shell tones or if there was
just,
a...
I think he's just slightly different color. Because yeah. We do see that they have different colors.
Yes.
Yeah. I think he's the most vibrant that we see, at least that we like really see up close.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's probably just...
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
The yellow one goes to answer the door and is brought out to the street and detained. The other one sneaks out and hides behind another house. Inside the hovel, they find the chemistry kit and the chemical that was just made in the small container. Vilkas comments that this, like, he's coming in there looking for alien weaponry because there's a lot of it. And he comments, oh, this is not a weapon, but it's definitely alien, and then promptly sprays himself in the face with black goo. He yells at the camera guy, delete that footage.
delete that footage!
Because I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Guys, you made me ink.
Oh, I did not.
Wow. That was a weird pull. Like, no, I get
How
it.
Is
no,
that
it's
a weird,
not a weird
that,
pull.
No, it makes a
it's
lot just, of sense, and I love
sense.
It.
It makes sense. It was just like it is. Finding Nemo is totally the exact opposite of this.
Yes,
it's true.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It is. Hence, I touched the butt.
Okay.
Sorry.
This is a weird one. All right.
I love this. I feel like
this is one of the most manic, like, I felt, like, the tonal whiplash between us and this movie.
Yeah. No, this is a lot.
But I feel like we need this, like, considering what we watched.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inside, they find, after he gets sprayed, he wipes his face down, and then goes into another room and finds a massive weapons cache. Mostly human weapons, but there's a bunch of alien weapons, too. He grabs a big gun that he's never seen before and brings it outside to show.
I think Thomas was the guy's name.
Thomas. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The security guy?
Why are you staring at me like I have three heads?
I don't know. I don't know what you're doing.
I'm cleaning my glasses.
Okay. All right.
While you're doing that, I'm going to take my sweater off.
Okay. God damn.
Ignore me.
You just look at me like I'm about to, like, knife something.
No, you just look very out of place. That's all I'm saying.
I took my glasses off, and suddenly he realized that I was the hot girl all along.
Oh, shut the hell up.
Oh, hey, you're wearing the shirt I got.
Yeah. It wasn't because we were seeing each other. I just felt like
I am too.
Oh my god! They're both wearing the shirts that I got them for Christmas.
This was not planned.
Nope.
This was not planned whatsoever.
I love these little happy accidents.
Yeah.
All right.
Sorry. My glasses were blurry.
No, it's no. Okay. Back to this. So
I wasn't about to Windex myself.
So, they find the room with the massive weapons cache. He grabs one of the new giant weapons to show off to
Thomas, the personal security guard that they brought along with them.
Yeah. But when they go out, the yellow one attacks. But then it goes to surrender when the cavalry comes in on the helicopter. And what was his name? The asshole?
Kubis.
Kubis. Kubis walks up to him, and the yellow one's clearly trying to surrender.
Mm-hmm.
And Kubis just shoots him point blank in the head.
Yeah.
After that,
he's a little bit cartoony in his evilness.
Yeah.
Zeev, it gets worse.
I believe it.
Yep. So
it literally gets to a point where at the end of the movie he's just like, I fucking love watching you prawns die.
Yeah. I mean, that's like,
wow.
That feels, I mean, within the parallelism with the apartheid government and...
Oh,
yeah, like
yeah,
that,
but it's still very...
A lot.
Like, cartoony.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
It's not cartoony. It's over the top.
Yes, okay. I'll go with that.
I will mention that, and this is probably the last real contribution I'm really going to be able to make to this episode regarding this movie, but I did like how... It made a lot of sense where a very similar thing would happen if there was first contact.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially first contact with aliens who did not have, like, central leadership.
Yeah.
Right.
Like an actual refugee ship of extraterrestrial aliens just hovering over a city.
Yeah. Right.
Like
just any random city, like, they would find, like,
yeah.
They would make some sort of refugees, and that would be a whole crisis.
Unless it was Chicago, in which case everything would implode in about 30 seconds.
I can only
imagine alien refugees coming to Chicago making it a little bit... No, I'm thinking of the other one. What's the Steel City? Detroit.
Detroit is not that bad. Chicago is about 10 times worse.
Mm. Okay.
Detroit was bad in the 90s, but it has cleaned its shit up.
Okay.
Chicago? Not so much.
All right. Anyway, Vilkas throws up some black goo. Vilkas throws up some black goo, and after getting attacked by the yellow one, some ENTs tend to him, and we give him a cast on the hand that got, like, a little bit broken. He returns to his office to get some paperwork done.
This is my least favorite scene in the movie. We don't usually do those, but I have to point it out. This is the part of the movie that I assumed Zeev, like, stepped out on, because it's the part of the movie that always makes me, like, have to look away for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
The fucking fingernail peeling off.
I looked
really
away,
okay,
but somehow I managed to make it through it.
I love this scene.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I can't watch it.
The first fingernail...
You know how your dad has a thing with eyes?
Yes.
That's me with fingernails.
No, he was watching this with me, and he was like, oh, God, stop. Tell me when it's done. And then I was like, don't worry. There's no eye stuff in this movie. And he's just like,
It doesn't make it any better.
One of my favorite shows, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., has a scene in the finale of season 2 where a character's getting tortured by having needles placed under their fingernails.
I hate it.
And it just Just thinking about it is making me want to kill myself.
Yeah. So his fingernails are falling out. He goes to the bathroom to check on them. He bites his other fingernails like, okay, no, these are fine. These are fine. And then, like, casually he checks his thumb and it just, like, slides out. And it's just like, no, that's not fine. And, like, there's this moment of, like, okay, it's bad, but it's not as... Okay, never mind. He goes home, and he's looking quite ill to find a surprise party for his new big promotion, but then vomits black goo on the cake and passes out.
Well, after his father-in-law, who gave him the promotion, degrades him for not being good enough.
Yeah, because too many people died under his watch, even though, I'm trying to think of it.
I know exactly what you were about to say.
I decided against it.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Also, the cake was shaped as their building.
Oh, yeah. No, that's very it was a very corporate party.
Yeah.
That's
what happens when you marry your boss's daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why you don't do that.
At the hospital.
This is why you find a new job.
Yes.
At the hospital, the doctor cuts off his cast, and underneath on his left arm... his hand has turned into one of the aliens' hands. Three large, like, grasping fingers. I don't know how to describe them. They were like segmented fingers.
It's like if you think of like Soul Calibur, that's what like Nightmare's claw it looks like.
Oh, I
don't know if anyone understands.
I suddenly
that
just lost all frame of reference.
I'll show you a picture.
It's like a centipede. Like a centipede shell.
Okay, that's a little better.
But it's just these like three segmented hand.
He looks at it, freaks out. The doctor starts freaking out.
Well, the doctor remains relatively calm externally.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He's like, it's okay. I'm just going to go get
security.
Yeah. And he just goes out and all medical personnel, please evacuate Ward 4 or whatever it was.
Yeah. While his wife is waiting in the waiting room.
Eh. Kind of like that.
Kind of.
Yeah.
He's showing us a character with a sword wields a sword with an eyeball in it.
Yeah, that's all I'm looking at right now.
Soul Calibur is a very weird series, but that's another story.
Sword.
Yes.
My dad would not. Security forces from the company rush in, zip him up in a bag, and bring him to their surgical facility, where they don't actually do anything. It's more of a, like, let's see what the limit of this man is. They test his pain threshold and find that his new arm and his nerves are completely connected to his brain. And through some weaponry tests, they find that he is able to fire the alien weaponry because he is... at a critical point of being 50% human and having his DNA be 50% alien.
And this was the point around the point where I walked away.
Yeah, they bring in a live test subject and force him to shoot.
Well, they're also forcing him by tasing his arms to make him close his trigger finger.
Yeah.
Just like, it just makes it that much worse.
Yeah. Did he actually end up shooting the subject?
Yes.
He was forced to, and he, like, freaks the fuck out.
Also splattered with its
innards. It's tough.
The doctors realize that we have to do some thorough dissecting if we want to get any good stuff out from him. If the infection continues, he'll become 100% alien, and that's not going to help us. His father-in-law is standing right next to him and looks down and is like, okay, strip him for parts.
Well, after they say, what about notifying next of kin? And he's like, I'll take care of that.
So they actually say, like, okay, let's kill him, basically, at this point?
Yeah, it's like, will he survive? No, we need everything.
Oh.
And then it's like, oh, what about notifying next of kin? I'll take care of that.
Yeah.
All right, do it.
Case
closed. Yeah, yeah. No, it's
I wish we saw the father-in-law get his comeuppance. Did I say it right that time? I feel like I said
you
it
did.
Right that time.
You did.
Yay!
I'm very proud of you.
Almost.
I'm gonna
say close enough.
Okay. See, he is influencing you. You said I had it. And then he goes, and then I you go was, like, no.
Say it one more time.
I can't.
Why are you going to say cum muffins?
Yes, because I realize that if I try it again, I'm going to say it wrong.
I mean, I heard comeuppance.
Okay.
All right.
I didn't hear the N at the end.
We okay. can rewind.
Yeah, he said it wrong.
No, I said it right. If I said it right.
Hey, everybody. Future CJ cutting in here while editing. Let's take a listen and roll back that clip.
Comeuppance.
Well, fuck.
If I said it right. Okay. So.
I heard comeuppis, but that was just me.
Whatever.
All right.
That could just be my ear holes not working.
Fair enough.
All right.
I'm sorry, Gage.
It's fine.
I'm in your corner so, on this.
Thank you. So he's about to be dissected.
Justice, to be fair.
He's about to be dissected. As they're about to cut into his heart without, like muting him first, like, it'd be easier. Like,
to put him under?
Yeah, or just, you know, kill him in, like, a simple way, neck break, and then you still have all the parts. But no, we're going to take out the heart first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That does not seem, like, logical.
Yeah.
Now they to corporate America.
We have to go... They take the same mentality to dissections as they do to everything else. Go for the heart.
Goodness sakes, was, was anesthesia too expensive for these
honestly,
guys?
Honestly, that's a good point.
They did say something about, like, having a reason for not putting him under.
Okay.
I don't remember what it was. I remember there being a conversation about it.
Okay.
Wow. I just feel like there's less painful ways to do this to, like, a human being.
Oh, they don't see him as a human being at this point.
He is
that's
now an
the problem.
Okay.
He's literally just property to them.
Wow.
Yeah. He's literally just a scientific breakthrough. That's wow. all he is to them. They care less about him than an eighth grader does dissecting a frog.
Yeah.
I'm bothered.
I mean, it's...
Yeah,
that's
yeah
the
it's
point.
Bothersome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
See, I was confused when Gage asked if you wanted to be a part of this, like, watch this movie.
I just remembered it being good.
We talked about how fucked up it was.
Did we?
Yes. I don't think it was on mic, but, like, off mic, we talked about this movie being kind of fucked up, but in a great way.
Yeah, I just remember the... Yeah, we did, and I focused on in a great way.
And I focused on the fucked up part.
Okay. Zeev also focused on the fucked up
yes,
part.
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry.
Zeev didn't even, like, get around to even realizing whether or not this was good.
Yeah.
So it was just too much bad.
Yeah, no, this is awful.
It's just well
heads
done
down.
Awful.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's well done. I will give it credit where it's due.
Yeah.
I just can't do any of this.
I know. Okay.
Yeah.
I understand.
Okay.
So he breaks out. Beats up some of the doctors, gets out into the city, and just runs. From earlier, he runs through the bio lab while he's when they first bring him down there, and there is just
the corpses of prawns being dissected.
Yeah, and like,
just horrible, horrible things.
Yeah, just nightmares. The assault team from earlier, the one that shot the yellow one in the head, they go after him.
He tries to go get food at a little, like,
sub burger
shop.
Joint?
Burger joint, sub shop, like, just this little, like, hole-in-the-wall place that they went earlier. Tries to go get food, and then sees a breaking news report on the TV screen that's, he is contagious because he fucked an alien and got an alien STD. So the father is framing this as he fucked an alien, got an alien STD, and his arm is starting to, like, turn into, like, an alien arm.
And he is highly contagious.
And is highly contagious, and everybody needs to stay at least 20 meters away from him at all times.
So they were going to kill him, and now they're ruining his name, basically.
Well, yeah. Now...
In the most stupid way possible.
They need to get him.
They need to get him. They need to have people not around him so they can get him. So they're inciting fear into the population.
Okay.
So because he is the first human ever combined with alien DNA, he is extraordinarily valuable. All of the weapons that were just chunks of metal that the humans can't use, suddenly in this company's property, become infinitely powerful if they can make their soldiers just by giving them a shot.
To be fair, they at least are doing it a more scientific way than the Nigerians are.
Yes.
Who are literally just trying to eat the prawns to harness their power.
By the way, that felt racist. No. Let's call a spade where it's spade. Let's call a spade a spade. That felt racist.
Well, the entire fucking movie is about the apartheid, is like a veiled metaphor for the apartheid government. There are, like, they mentioned early on that there was a, they compared it to a religious group that believed that eating an animal would give you its power.
Yeah, and then they did like this whole witch doctor thingy.
Yes,
which
is part of that original religion.
I'm using like the alien body parts.
Yes,
to like eat the alien body parts.
Yes, believing that they can get the alien power to operate the weapons.
I don't see it as racist. I see it as a statement on how far people will go to justify trying to be able to use this technology.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
I see where you're coming from. I don't completely agree. It's definitely not. Nothing about this movie is sensitive. This is definitely not something that's culturally sensitive.
But I
don't see it as being blatantly racist.
Okay.
I see the two of the corporate plan of getting the power from the aliens and the crime plan of eating the power from the aliens as fundamentally the same thing. Mm-hmm. They are exploiting an underclass in order to get exactly what they want from them.
Okay.
While disregarding everything else.
Okay.
And I think there's like a parallelism there with that.
Okay.
And in the third act, the big battle starts when the criminals and the company fight each other.
Yeah, over him.
Over him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah,
see that then. Yeah. Okay, that's fair.
So, everybody runs out of the place. He escapes. He runs away from the hit squad.
Yeah. 31 hours after, we get a little text thing. 31 hours after exposure, he's just outside of District 9. He tries to call his wife, and it goes to voicemail. And he realizes the only safe place to be will be the only place the last place anyone would look for him in the place where he got
in District 9.
Yeah.
Are the aliens more accepting of him?
No.
Okay.
I mean, they don't care.
They don't really pay attention to him. They're just doing their own thing.
To them, he's just a homeless human who's hiding in one of their hovels. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The next morning, he buys himself some...
Yeah, most of the violence in this movie is caused by the humans.
Yeah.
Not by the prawns just being bloodthirsty and hating humans.
I can see that, yeah.
And, like, anytime we do see a prawn, like, kill a human, it's usually
It's like self-defense, usually.
Yeah, it's in retaliation.
Or just out of raw hunger.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So he buys himself some cat food from some of the criminals who are selling goat and other meats, and then spits it out when he realizes his teeth are falling out. He then gets a call from his wife.
Which, really, that stuff shouldn't be hard on the teeth. That was a pate.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was the cat. I'm sure it was the cat food that did it.
Yeah, had to have been. What else could it have been?
He gets a call from his wife, which lasts just long enough to be traced. She tells him that she can't be with him anymore, so he runs to the food stand to grab an axe that they were chopping up the meat with to go and cut off his arm, but decides against it maybe just a little bit too late, because he only cuts off one of his fingers.
Yeah, and...
I also, what I love in the scene is, like, as he's thinking about it, the hand, like, he's holding the axe with his right hand, and you can already see, like, the little black spikes... coming out of his other right. hand. So you can see that cutting off any part of him is not going to solve anything. This is in his system.
Yeah, he's just, he's grasping straws here.
Yeah.
So whatever's cut off, does that regenerate in any
no.
point?
No.
No. No, he's just bleeding for the rest of the movie.
Well, no, they patch him up.
Well, they do, but...
So, chopters fly overhead.
Chopters?
Copters. Choppers.
Choppers.
Choppers. Choppers or copters.
I combined the two words, didn't
you
I?
Did,
Chopters.
Sorry. Choppers fly over. He runs for cover and finds himself in the hovel of Christopher. He asks for help and then passes out due to blood loss. Christopher is like, no, you gotta go. I don't want to deal with you. And then he sees the hand and he's like,
you touched my goo.
How did you get that? Okay, now I'm going to help you because I don't have any other option. He wakes up in a metal cabin beneath the hovel. It's the earlier on during the...
Yeah, during the documentary portion, they mentioned that there was a command module from the mothership that had detached and no one ever found it.
Mm-hmm.
He finds it.
Yeah.
It's underneath this dude's shack.
So, since that module fell off the ship, Christopher has been collecting...
I'm sorry.
Trying to... Since that module fell off the ship, Christopher has been trying to collect enough fluid to turn into fuel to fly back to the mothership. He tells Vilkas that they have the technology on the mothership to reverse what is happening to him, but they can't get there without the fuel that you took and sprayed yourself with. He suggests, like, maybe we can get it back. And
well, maybe we can find more. No, it took me 20 years to find that much.
Yeah.
So they conduct a plan.
Yeah. And
to raid the lab.
But Vilkas is not like on board with this until the next morning. Cause, he checks himself in a mirror and sees just how much he has changed. And the makeup here is so freaking good. It looks like the alien is under his skin and trying and like slowly breaking through. Like whatever is mm-hmm. going on inside of him is like creating a new carapace and is pushing its way out.
It's creating an endoexoskeleton.
Yeah.
Lovely.
Good words.
Thank you.
He gets another wife call.
Thank you. I didn't come up with them.
Okay. He gets another call from his wife who tells him that she doesn't trust her father and just wants things to go back to the way they were and asks him if they can do that.
I don't know if I trust her.
Actually, kind of, because like in the earlier thing, in the earlier phone call, I was certain that she was working with her father. But this time we see that her father is tapped into the phone call without her knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. But yeah. Either way, same end situation.
Yeah, so he decides to do whatever it takes to try to be normal again.
Yeah.
There's
this great little scene with Christopher and his son. Christopher has realized, oh my God, I'm never going to get back home. And his son has this little hologram of their home planet and is asking, like, this planet only has one moon. And is like, yes, our home has seven. And like he walks in during this conversation and he says, I'll help you. And like I love the way that it's set up. Mm-hmm. From that one scene alone, you'd think he's doing it for Christopher, but he's still doing it for himself.
Mm-hmm.
That really plays into like the humanization
of
him and just how much of a selfish prick he is until the very end.
He's not very likable. Like,
no, he isn't. Movie. No, he isn't. No, no human really is. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. But first they need weapons. So the next morning he goes to the crime gang and tries to buy weapons. One of the gang members shows him a newspaper of him poorly edited into a photo of him.
A sexual escapade with an alien.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And just making fun of him
for that. It's all like pixelated and everything. I want to say that's the one thing in this movie that always makes me laugh. It just looks so fake.
Yeah, and it's supposed to, but if you told people that this existed and that this was a high security situation,
yeah,
then everyone would be like, okay, yeah, no, that makes sense. He talks to the crime lord. He says, I want to buy some weapons. The crime lord says, it's you. I'm going to cut off your arm and eat it.
Yep.
And like,
I want that fucking arm.
They force him to the ground, but he is able to reach out, grab one of the alien weapons. It powers on. He swings it around and like this, like, oh, I don't know how to describe it. It's like, I guess how you... it's like how Black Canary beats her victims, like a blast, a sound, like,
yeah, a concussive like blast,
yeah. Concussive blast, yeah, just blast some people out, and then he blasts some of the crew aside, and he says, "Give me more weapons," and then they do, and he threatens the rest, but he doesn't kill anyone else. In fact, this weapon doesn't look like it's particularly like it looks like it's crowd keeping.
Crowd control.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just going to let him have that one.
Fair.
we've been ragging on him a lot. I'll just give him a okay. crowd
I'll
keeping.
I'll lay back. I'm sorry.
It's fine. It's
oh, you don't have to. You are free, man.
As he leaves, the crime lord threatens him, saying, I'm going to get that arm. And we then cut to MNU forces moving in on the hovel, trying to get him alive because they were able to track his phone. They report back to headquarters that there's no one here, just as the headquarters front doors get blasted with an alien energy weapon.
Mm-hmm.
They charge through the hall down into the sub-basement to find the bio lab. And the colonel is reminded by one of his men, hey, no using live ammunition. They want this guy alive. Which only pisses him off.
Yeah.
They get to the biolab, find the container, but Christopher sees all the fucked up shit that they've been doing to his people. And in particularly, the mangled corpse of his yellow friend. Christopher is completely in shock and doesn't even notice when the security forces come down and start opening fire. And the only thing that pulls him out of his torpor is... Vic is reminding him of his son. Come on, you gotta get back to your son. And like, from just staring at this corpse of his friend, he like, pops back to reality and goes to take cover. In the scene, they fight off some of the security guys. Vilkas has a lightning gun?
Lightning laser taser gun.
Yeah, it shoots people and they explode into...
jelly.
Yeah, I was gonna say chum.
Gelatinous chum.
Yes. Yeah, but it's just like...
poof. What a lovely image.
Yeah. Yeah.
the Terran 1 launch has been scrubbed today.
Oh, that's a shame. They're hemmed in. Christopher sees some other junk that he can use. He puts some materials together, makes a bomb, throws it at a wall, and they steal a vehicle and make it back to District 9 in the hovel. Back in the hovel, his son is trying to set up the prep launch for the module, and while getting set up, Christopher tells Vilkas, it might take a little longer to change for me to get you back to becoming a human. And he's like, how much longer?
3 years.
3 years?
Yeah. I saw what's going on in that lab. I gotta take this fuel, get up to the mothership, go back to my planet, get help. Come back to rescue my people, and then I'll help you.
My people will not be medical experiments.
Which is fair.
Yeah.
It's perfectly fair. I get that.
Yeah. Just as Vilkas, more concerned about his own ass, this time decides, I'm going to hit Christopher in the face. And
really hard with a pipe.
Yep. He knocks him out for a second, climbs down into the pod, and locks the top hatch just as security forces get to the hovel.
They arrest Christopher.
Yeah.
And try to get down into the basement.
Yeah. But ignoring the child, Vilkas is able to power up the ship and get it to start lifting off. And he inadvertently saves Christopher's life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the point where he basically says, you know, there's nothing I love more than killing fucking prawns.
Yeah.
And that was...
Yeah, that he's like holding a gun to Christopher's head. He's like, there's nothing I love more than watching you fucking prawns die.
Yeah. And...
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so
dial it back a bit.
Yeah. It's like, okay, you're at like a 12. I need you at like a 7. Can you do that for me?
So making the ship take off, he inadvertently saves Christopher's life from the security asshole. But the sounds of the engine scaring him off, the dropship lifts out. The hovel on top of it kind of crumbles and falls off. And
News reporter car chase narration.
Yeah.
It looks like something's coming out of the ground. No, something's definitely coming out of the ground. It's like, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, lady.
Wouldn't have known otherwise.
Yeah, exactly.
Takes off.
But it literally goes to like a news footage camera feed too, and then you get the bad car chase narration on top. It's...
Yeah.
I get that they were doing like stuff like that. Car chase narration just always pisses me off. Even in real life, it's just always so fucking horrible.
It's because they have nothing, like, they are not allowed to let any dead air exist.
I don't think it's dead air if you let people just watch a car chase.
No, they have to always be talking. But ironically, they're not paid by the word.
Really? You'd think.
You'd think, right?
Yeah.
I mean... Neither are we, but true. Doesn't fucking stop us.
Yeah, well,
you're getting paid.
Yeah, no. I was saying in agreement to his question.
You said yeah before he asked the question.
No, you guys said like yes and no, like simultaneously.
Yeah, in response. Anyway, the spaceship, the dropship immediately gets hit by a surface-to-air missile, which takes out its left engine. And it goes down. Christopher is grabbed...
Oh, really? I thought it went up.
Christopher is grabbed and shoved into the paddy wagon. And the head of security walks into the ship, drags Vilkas out. Luckily, the kid is safe in his hiding spot, but it looks at this point like the two of them are about to be brought back to HQ for further medical experiments. But then the crime lord and his people attack the convoy because he wants to eat that arm. Gang breaks in, drags Vilkas out to the crime lord. He gives the order to cut off his arm so he can eat them as reinforcements of the MNU start coming in. So gang versus corporate army battle going on. During this time, Christopher's son has been activating some of the things on the mothership through the drop pod.
Yeah, the mothership starts actually moving.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And going closer to being, like, pretty much on top of where the dropship is.
First time in 20 years, mothership's moving. It's moving above District 9. Security forces...
All of the aliens are still downstairs and are still down in District 9, aren't they?
They're in District 9.
Okay. Yes.
Everyone is... All of the aliens are in District 9. They're in District 9
nobody's on the
now.
Mothership.
Okay.
Yeah. They brought everyone out because they wanted to help them, but then they decided to experiment on them.
Yeah.
So, UFO is moving. They're just about to cut off the arm, but as the sun is powering up the mothership, it powers up a bunch of other things, including a mech suit that the gang had traded 100 cans of cat food for in the opening, like, preamble.
Mm-hmm. It looks weirdly like a Pokemon from Sun and Moon.
I kind of love it.
Does it not?
Yeah, it does. But
that bug Pokemon?
Yeah, but what I love about it is that they designed the robot, the mech suit, in the same way that a human would design a mech suit for themselves.
Right.
It has like a elongated head, and it has like tentacle sensors at the tip of it, mirroring the mandibles that their species has.
Mm.
So it, like you still, they're still building.
Oh wow!
Whatever you're building it in your own image.
Yeah, it's I showed a picture to Zeev.
Yeah, I'll also throw a picture of it on the.
Yeah. Oh yeah, they were selling that for. They were selling that for cat food.
Yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. So that powers up. God, I love this scene. The mech suit zaps the butcher with a knife. Everyone opens fire on it. All the bullets get like collected in like this magnetic like core. They get magnetoed by in front of his fist. Everyone runs out of ammo. He sends the ammunition back into all the humans. And then as the crime lord is about to say something, he shoots the robot shoots like a grenade like straight into the guy's forehead.
Yeah. Like in the dude's brain, the dude's dead like before it even gets there.
Ooh, yeah.
and then it explodes and his brain goes.
Yeah.
I fucking love that death.
And then the next
I'm not just going to shoot you with a bullet. I'm going to shoot you with the grenade, so the grenade implants itself in your brain. And then it's blow up.
Yeah. Make sure nothing can be recoverable.
Maximum effort.
There is no kill like overkill.
Mm-hmm. The mech suit then.
That's. Yeah.
Recognizing that Vilkas is a.
Biggest Dickus.
Does he have a sister?
Let's just continue. We got a TV at work that we put up, and we were literally watching Monty Python and the Holy Grail at work on Thursday, I think it was.
No, that was from...
No, aware, but okay. I'm just saying, like...
Yeah. Oh, we should do the Monty Python movies on here.
Those are good.
But the...
I mean, most of them are just,
so
like,
hard
sketches.
To review comedies.
Yes, it
we've,
is.
We've
it
been
is.
Over this.
Yeah.
We've specifically taken movies off of our roster because of the fact that they're just...
Yeah, that's true.
Also, Monty Python, like, in specific, like, each of the movies is just, like, skits.
Yeah.
Sit on my face and tell me that you love me.
I forget the other words.
I don't understand it was
too raunchy. They did it at a live performance because it was too raunchy for TV. It's a four-person choir. They all sing Sit on My Face.
I love to hear you oralize while I'm between your thighs. It blows me away.
Sit on my face, sit on my face, sit on my face. And then they all turn and walk away and you can see that none of them are wearing pants.
It's a barbershop quartet singing Sit on My Face, and it's the greatest song ever written. Thank you. Let's continue.
Let's continue.
Okay, let's continue.
Glad we're all in agreement on continuing.
Yes.
All right.
We'll show you the entire thing later.
Cool. So the suit recognizes Vilkas as an ally and opens up so he can get in and pilot it.
If not friend, why friend-shaped?
Yeah. If not friend, why DNA right like that? So the security forces go after Christopher. They try to beat the truth, get some information out of him just by beating him in the head. You never start with the head; it leaves the victim disoriented. But then Vilkas gets in the suit and goes out to save Christopher, but he doesn't. He runs off.
He runs just right past him.
Yeah, he says, no, you can have him. Just leave me alone. And then he just runs away. And as he's getting away, the suit transfers like some data, and it keeps playing
an audio feed of just fucking kill him.
And so he decides, and he turns around. And as a guy pulls his gun out to shoot Christopher, Electra bolts his arm, which just explodes, and then he dies.
Wait, his arm explodes?
Yeah. So the mech suit has the lightning laser thing, and he shoots
lightning
the arm.
Laser taser gun.
Yeah, well, more than a taser. So he dies. He goes back to save Christopher. Other soldiers
laser
come.
Laser blaster 9000.
I don't get the reference.
There is none.
Moving on.
Why does it have to be a reference? Why can't I just say a thing? Why can't I just say a thing, damn it?
So, this time, Vilkas fights through an army, protecting Christopher as much as possible to get him to the dropship. Then he gets shot by an anti-tank rifle and is slowed down a little bit. He turns around and the sniper is like, uh-oh. He tries to shoot him again, but then he gets evaporated. But Christopher, Vickis tells Christopher, you have to go ahead. I'll hold off the soldiers. And as Christopher runs off, he yells saying, I will return in 3 years and I will save you. Above the mothership is finally moving into place, and we can see the drop ship shaped hole. Shut up.
No, to be fair, I get that. That's hard
drop
to say.
Drop ship shaped hole.
Yeah. Well, fuck you.
I'm actually surprised I got it.
Drop ship shaped hole. Oh, hey, I got it too.
It sounds like the beginning of a more complicated tongue twister.
Yes.
As it hovers into position.
Drop ship shaped hole shot Shane.
No, I can't do a Shane. It's too. You need. Okay, no. Focusing on this. We're almost done.
We're almost
shot
there.
Shot Sean.
Okay. So it's hovering into position. The security force tries to shoot down the rising. It comes over the drop ship and, like, old school alien, like, anti gravity lifting. Happens.
Tractor beam
comes down. It starts lifting the damaged
John Deere beam.
Sure. it starts lifting the drop ship up, and the security tries to shoot it down with a RPG. But like while he's like,
well, in the mech suit, Vickis just reaches up and grabs it.
Yeah. but he gets too distracted.
Nothing goes over his head. He's too quick.
I understood that reference.
Shut up, both of you. Damn it. He gets a little bit too cocky and forgets that he's holding an active RPG. he yells at the guy, and then his arm blows up.
Like, you would think he would take it and then just throw it at the dude, but no. He just holds it there, like, goes to gloat, and then it just blows the fucking robot's arm off.
Security is able to knock him down finally by running one of the gang members' trucks through him. And at the same time, the dropship clicks into the mothership and it starts thrumming and it's beginning to take off.
It's a good word.
Thrumming?
Thrumming.
It is. So Christopher has made it.
Are you thrumming?
He's uncomfortable.
I need to actually look up what that word. Before I agree or disagree on anything, I've learned.
Vibrating intensely.
Yeah.
Vibrating intensely?
Yes.
Pretty much.
I mean,
okay,
on
Do you know the magic card Thrumming Stone?
Yes.
It's that. It's
okay.
Thrumming.
I mean, I guess on an atomical level, we're always moving. So if we want to go down that level.
I think it's actually onomatopoeia.
Everybody always be thrumming.
I don't know about that. So mothership starts up. Christopher plugs in the coordinates for home. The people of Johannesburg are out in the
atomical
streets.
Level. Sorry, I said anatomical. I meant atomical level.
Is there a difference?
Anatomy
versus atomic.
Oh, okay. Yes. Got it. Yeah. Sorry.
I knew what you meant.
Thank you. Same here.
Okay. I honestly thought you said, like, atomic level. But.
Okay.
All right.
I was thinking about it as I was saying it. I was like, wait, no, I used the wrong word.
My hearing holes ain't being great today.
Fair. Three paragraphs, lads.
Okay.
The people of Johannesburg celebrate as the spaceship starts to take off. We cut back to the documentary footage.
It's taking none of the aliens.
Yeah. No, the aliens are looking up. The humans are looking up. Oh, before it goes off, we see the, what's his name? The asshole climb over.
Oh, Kubis?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. The asshole's name is Kubis, everybody.
I wonder what that translates to. Anyway.
K-O-O-B-U-S.
Huh. He climbs over. He grabs Vickis, who is, like, the mech has finally shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Vickis is, like, crawling away. He flips him over.
Well,
and
he throws down his assault rifle.
Oh, yeah.
Just takes his fucking magnum out of its holster.
Yeah.
And just goes to gloat and shoot him in his face.
Yeah.
When a bunch of prawns just come out from around a corner and fucking jump him and tear him to literal pieces.
They've been starving for a very long time.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are hungry.
The prawn's hunger.
There's this one's the best scene from that angle, and the like is you see one of them like grab like his head and just like rip
well,
it
there's
off.
There's a wide shot from like almost a helicopter view above.
And then there's like a shot from like someone hiding in the brush. What I also love here is the infection on Vicus has reached his face, and
he's got one alien eye, but still in his human face.
Oh. Yeah, so it's big and it's yellow, but it's less like he's clearly like reaching him and like actually contorting him.
Yeah. It's actually very well done. It doesn't look disturbing.
No, really?
It looks, in my opinion, it looks almost natural.
Huh. Yeah. No, it's amazing how well they do it.
Okay.
I don't know if there's a picture of that on IMDb, but I will find it.
So the spaceship takes off. And
okay. Yeah, it's kind of like a
differently
colored eye.
And bigger.
Yeah.
And it's like actually making his face bulge a little bit, but it doesn't look grotesque.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It just looks like somebody who's morphing.
Yeah. Right.
It looks like he's anamorphing.
Yeah.
We slip.
I understood that reference. I never read the books, but I understood the reference.
What's funny is in Animorphs, the fact that it, like, describes that it takes a long time for them to morph. So it's just like they sit in this in-between space. Like, I think like the first time any of the kids anamorph, like the rest of them literally just, it's described how long they sit there in horror.
It's like 5 minutes.
It's literally like...
That sounds like too long for a transformation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It literally...
It works for good narrative tension.
Huh.
Especially like the first one where there's just like, Jesus Christ, what is happening?
Two and a half paragraphs. From this point on,
slowly but surely, we're getting
slips,
there.
It goes back into the
documentary
style. A voice says, "This was the last video we ever have of video footage of Vilkas as he's like crawling away from the blood
Vicus
stain
van der Merwe.
From the blood stain that the security guy." Was a minute ago.
He just doesn't exist anymore.
The other side characters, including his parents, his colleagues, speculate as to what happened to him.
His dad is very just fatalistic about it.
He's dead. He went away.
He died in my mind a long time ago.
Yeah.
His wife,
The protege
still lives. He's incarcerated.
He's awaiting trial after exposing MNU illegal genetic research program.
He literally, they're interviewing him. He's like, yeah, I found it. They didn't do a good job hiding it. Like, of course I leaked it.
Yeah. I mean, he's not wrong.
Yeah. So
he literally just, like, he's the whistleblower for the entire thing.
Wow.
Like, everything that they were doing with Vicus, with everything.
Yeah.
And basically the reason that the documentary is being made.
Right.
Right.
And then it cuts to his wife.
Wait, I still want to get there's one... I'll let you do the scene. I will let you do the scene. But, like, we also... One of my favorite scenes during this, not obviously the best one, but stop looking at me like daggers. The guy who's clearly like a representative for the company is saying like, oh, it's unknown if Christopher will come back at all, if he even made it to his home planet, and there are some crazy people out there who think that he might bring back an armada to fight us, and he looks genuinely terrified at this prospect. Like,
yeah.
I've committed war crimes.
Mom, I've done war crimes again.
Well, time to face the music, bitch. All right. The final interview with the wife.
So then it cuts over to the wife, who's sitting on her bed, just holding a box of stuff. She had mentioned early on in the opening when they were talking about him that he likes to just make her little gifts. Like, he didn't like to buy her things. He liked to make little things for her because they were more personal. And
I can understand that.
Just also a way to set this up, which is that she explains that she had opened the door and just sitting on her porch was just this little like metal rose that just like
someone had like
bent up a piece of
scrap metal
and just made a rose out of it. And she's like, all my friends tell me to just throw it away. Gone.
I doubt that this came from him.
Yeah, and it's like, I know they're right, but what if? And it cuts to a prawn out in District 9.
District 10.
District 10.
They have been moved.
Right.
The population has moved, it has increased to 2.5 million and continues to grow.
Yeah. Huh. Well, and nobody's there to abort the babies anymore.
Right.
But, yeah, so it just cuts to a prawn just picking up a couple little pieces of metal and bending it into place. And then
he glances at the camera, admires the work of the little metal rose he made, and the credits roll. This movie is so good, it gives me a stomachache.
This movie was so good, it made Zeev nope the fuck out.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know if a movie has to be good in order
to
do that.
No, I mean, like,
no, he doesn't. To be fair, you were not prepared. You were not sold on this movie. You didn't know that any of this was going to happen. And I apologize. I sincerely regret that I wasn't the one to reach out.
I thought the word apartheid would have covered some of the horrors.
It doesn't quite go into live, like, test subjects and experimentation.
Okay, yeah, that's fair.
Like, that's... apartheid is fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, no, hands down, definitely.
But
yeah,
it's fucked up in a very different direction than where this movie goes during some...
The corporate militarism and...
And
experimentation.
It's the experimentation and torture aspect of it that's just completely,
Yeah.
You kind of have to warn people about that.
I do. Yeah, okay.
Apartheid is one thing. This is something different.
Apartheid is something that's horrible and fucked up, but you can make good movies about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can make movies about it that don't actually make you, physically hurt watching it.
Right.
Torture and human, and, life experimentation, that's a little something else.
Yeah.
But I fucking love this movie.
I can see the good things about it. That is what I will say.
Okay.
It doesn't frame any of these things as being good.
Yeah. I mean, know what I mean.
The thing that I love about this
cinema-wise, I can see it being good. Like, a lot of the lot of the concepts of it are not good things.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
But they're framed in the way of being this is fucking horrible shit.
Oh, yeah. And it did a great job of doing that.
The commentary about the downfall of man becoming the thing that he hates is just a tale as old as time, and yet it's just always so good.
I also just love how this movie displays every facet of human emotion and cowardice. And cowardice and motivation.
Mm-hmm.
Like we see all of these traits in the humans, but we see all of the other traits also in the aliens.
Yeah.
And one thing that this movie does that a lot of other movies don't do or can't do while still remaining alien is they were able to give the technical team was able to give micro expressions to an alien species.
Yes.
That was really cool.
The human eye, the eyes are still very human and almost cat-like, frankly. Yeah. But, in that opening prologue, just through the few times we see some of the aliens digging through the trash, you can see, there's little gestures they do with their, underarms and just, with some of their mandibles.
Yeah.
In that prologue, we see how the viewer can recognize and connect.
And relate to the aliens more than the humans.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, we see more humanity in the aliens than any other human.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a masterpiece. It's just a hard watch.
Yes. Yeah. It's dark as fuck. But you can't
And what I don't understand is how, like, you go through the subtleties and nuances of District 9, mm-hmm. and then next week we watch Elysium, mm-hmm. also directed by Neil Blomkamp.
Who just decided to go with, okay, here's
you know the, what? Nuance and subtlety, those are big words.
There's a phrase I like, which is, what is it?
Elysium is very much a different movie than this. Like, it's not actually.
Subtlety.
Good, bad.
It's good. It just hits the nail on the head, like, way too hard.
There's a phrase that I really like.
It's basically all just, like, anti-billionaire.
Subtlety is for cowards.
Yeah, I can see it.
Basically. Okay. I love that, because some books, like, you read and be like, this is not subtle at all, but it's really good. Mm-hmm. Like, fucking, I just finished Hunchback of Notre Dame. It is not subtle about what its meaning is in terms of architecture and humanity, but it takes that same idea of subtlety is for cowards, but Elysium takes the subtlety is for cowards and does, but
subtlety is for the smart.
Yeah, and it's just, it's not like
you like Elysium is very much a movie that's about eat the rich.
Okay, it's more about
kind of, you know,
border control. It's yes, like, it's but almost like there's a direct. It's not even a parallel. It's basically, hey, look at this. They have healthcare. We don't.
Yes, but it's also like
it also simplifies.
It also has very strong eat the rich connotations to it.
Yeah, but without anything other than to other than let's do that because we should. It's
been a long time since I've seen it.
It lacks any subtlety. It's a competent movie. I mean, this is Neil Blomkamp. I think his best work is done in his shorter films. Mm-hmm. Like this came from.
This came from a short film.
Yeah.
And Peter Jackson saw it and was like, this needs to be a feature film.
Yeah.
And so they basically made as independent of a film as you can make while Peter Jackson is still attached as a producer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Blomkamp has actually done a series of shorts, which are on Netflix, which I'd like to recommend, called Oats Studios. My favorite one is called Zygote. And it's very good. It's also creepy. Would not recommend it to you, Zeev. Would not recommend it to you, CJ, because it is kind of fucked up, but it is beautiful.
Is it fucked up in a way that I would be able to get through?
It's only like 10 minutes long, so yeah.
Yeah, probably fine.
Okay.
I'm probably not going to watch it.
All right. That's fine. I don't blame you. That's fine. Yeah. But like he's Blomkamp is better in like short compact ideas.
Elysium, by the way, stars Matt Damon.
Ah.
Yeah. And has Charlotte Copley as the main bad guy.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound too bad.
Mechsuit Warriors.
It's not too bad.
No, it's not a bad movie. It's just you go into it kind of expecting another District 9, and it's very much not like the nuance and subtlety and all of that of District 9. And it's just a little. It takes a very different approach.
Yes.
It's not nearly as dark either.
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't watched Chappie yet.
I haven't either.
That one looks interesting, at least. That one looks more of a character.
But back to this movie. Yes. Does anybody have a favorite shot?
I think I really. Here's the thing. I'm balancing it between the action shot and what's the shot that hits the most emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, can I do two in this case?
I'll allow it.
The emotional shot is when Christopher finally gets back up onto the ship. He programs the thing in. He goes to rest against the wall because he is like actually hurt.
Yeah.
And his son goes over to him and is like, are we going home? And the animation
and
on the animation on the kid is just so
kid-like,
and it's really well done. And that scene I like, but the action scene that I love just comes before that, where the robot looks like it's down, and then it reaches up and catches the RPG.
That's a good fucking
shot.
It's a
really good
shot. My shot is actually very similar to that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually the overhead like helicopter shot of the prawns swarming around Kubis and tearing him apart.
Yeah.
There was something artistic
Yes. No, there
about
was...
that. Like, it looked like something that would have been painted.
It, but, yeah, no, like a Baroche painting.
Yeah.
Like, very, very visceral.
And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, if you paused this, I feel like Gage would be able to find a comparison to an actual piece of art.
Yes. No, no, definitely.
Like, if given...
Broke. I said the wrong word.
I didn't catch it. Yeah, I don't know.
Others might.
I don't know.
I think it's a Baroque.
But, no, so... Like if you had like 10 minutes, yes. I'm sure you could find something that like that was mirroring.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's so good.
Yeah, yeah. No, it is a good. That's a good shot.
I know you only watched about 40 minutes of it. Did you have anything early on?
I think honestly, I really liked the shot of like the huge ship on top of
the wide shots over of the ship. Over
I thought that was very beautiful to see.
The design of the mothership is great because it
takes the aspect of flying saucer,
but also
extrapolates upon that it's a giant floating city.
Yeah. Yeah,
and what I love about it too is all the stuff hanging out looks like it's been hurt. It looks like a injured animal in a way.
Like they show all of the things that are kind of falling apart out from it.
Yeah. But there's also antenna arrays.
Yeah. And it looks like it's like pouring, like it was supposed to be plugged in and someone like.
Yeah. It looks like it was once a flying saucer and has become a flying saucer with a terrible ulcer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like that. Like, I don't know if it was, like, ever, if that was what they were going for, but it definitely feels that way.
Yeah, it has that feel to it.
I do also kind of like that they picked Johannesburg for this, because this would not have hit the same way if it was, like, in New York.
And they mention it in the documentary, at the beginning of the movie, that it wasn't over Chicago, it wasn't over New York, it was over Johannesburg.
Right.
And that's what made me think, like, if it was over Chicago, they would have gotten the aliens out. Everybody would be dead within the span of about 30 days.
Basically.
Mm-hmm. If it was over New York, this movie would basically just be about prawns going to work because it's a living.
You're right.
I mean, Neil Blomkamp is South African Canadian.
Oh.
So he had...
Charlton Copley is also, I believe, from South Africa.
Yeah. So he brought some of his... Mm-hmm. memories and history of being a kid during apartheid Africa and what happened and how and just all of the militarism and the legalized racism and I think that's why Elysium was so disappointing because District 9 was connected but not a comparison to apartheid South Africa.
Okay.
While Elysium is just the American-Mexican border.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thing. Yeah.
With strong connotations of eat the rich, because why not?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, I really like that choice. I thought that was a good choice.
Favorite scene?
I'm going to sit this one out.
Yeah, that's fine. That's
fine.
That's fine. All the emotional scenes come after you watched.
Yeah. Right.
I think it has to go to the last scene.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The last two shots.
Oh, the...
With the flower.
Yeah, with the flower.
I think it has to.
Yeah. I want to piggyback off that to give a runner-up to the one that I was going to say, which is the... second phone conversation he has with his wife when he's in the hovel.
Okay.
When she calls and she's like, hey, I know my father's lying to me. Like, I just want things to go back to normal. Love that scene because it's also paralleled with Christopher and his son talking about never being able to go home.
Right.
Love that.
Desiring a return to
right.
the beginning. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is a good scene.
I just wanted to piggyback because off the wife scene.
Yes, no, that was
end with that because those two I feel go hand in hand anyway.
Yeah,
but it just
now this movie is brilliantly written and well shot and thematically ties everything together in this
nice little bow.
Yeah,
that jump scares you once or twice when you open it, but it's a nice box.
Yeah.
Standout performance?
I mean, probably Christopher.
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, there's not a, there's only a couple of characters.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
the only ones that get characterization are Christopher Vilkas and the son.
Yeah.
And then everyone else is either evil corporate military,
or innocent bystander.
Yeah.
I also agree with Christopher.
Yeah.
In the bit that I saw. Because I was sure not going to like the other guy. So
yeah.
Well, the performance of...
The performance was good.
I'm not asking favorite character. I'm asking standout performance. We don't know who played Christopher or the son.
Is the standout performance the special effects team?
I think so.
Okay.
I think the special effects team... Well, it does not necessarily hold up, and there are definitely moments where it looks dated.
Yeah.
The special effects team went out of their way to make the aliens just so human while still being descriptively alien.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it just, it's brilliant. How would you eat this?
Do you want me to go first?
Please do.
All right. This is a blueberry supernova. Beautiful look.
New band name. Thank you very much.
Beautiful to look upon and shocking by its raw power, both like the visceral stuff as well as
visceral. That's another good word that you could have used to describe it to the Z.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, blueberry supernova.
Viscerally dark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Should I go next?
You don't have to. If you want to, you can.
Based on what we've described
and based off what you've seen. Okay. Obviously, there's some issues here, but
I'm not gonna have as positive of a thing. I mean, I can respect like the good things about it and the social commentary it all had, but there were some things that really did not let me like get into this. So
it's hard to. This is very much not a Zeev movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
I'm probably gonna say a blueberry and grape salad. Probably
okay.
All right,
some good stuff.
Take the good with the bad.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I mean,
I get that. Yeah. If you're squeamish at all, or the thought of live experimentation like shakes you to your core, this movie is not for you.
Yeah.
Like, this is very much a movie that is not for everyone.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
That's the boat I'm in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hence why I wanted to have you on. Gage is like, nope, he's out. I'm like, well, see if he still wants to come on and explain. Like,
he didn't. He texted me later. When I told you I haven't gotten anything back from Zeev, and then I said, no, wait, he's back in. It was because you messaged me saying that you were, hey, I just saw this. I'm back in.
Yeah, I needed to watch something funny for like a good hour.
Yeah,
afterwards
makes sense.
Just kind of chill.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you watch? I'm not going to finish that sentence.
How would you eat this, CJ?
It's just a blueberry.
Mm.
There doesn't need to be anything like overtly special about the way that I eat this.
Okay.
I sit down, I enjoy it, it tastes fucking good.
Okay.
And I'm gonna keep coming back for more.
Okay. I get that. Okay. Yeah.
It's everything I need and nothing extra.
Okay. Okay. So I was just thinking about like, yes, you guys are right. I am very oblivious to things.
Mm-hmm.
And I, like, in my obliviousness, I was thinking, what I was trying to dissect.
Obliviosity?
Obliviosity. I think that's the better word.
It's not a word, but we're using it.
I don't think so. I'd love to hear your opinion on this.
Okay.
I like diving into those darker aspects of humanity and reality, because I think thinking about those asks bigger questions about who we are and what we're going to become.
So that's the artist perspective.
And okay. Yeah. And I just think that I'm not to say to ignore, but to, I'm looking for the right word.
It sounds like you're about to say let slide.
That's not the word.
Okay.
But to,
we're going
to
say here to
avoid those bigger topics is a way, like, it, I can see why some people think it would be healthy to avoid those topics, but at the same time, you have to confront them in smaller ways, and, like, the bigger concepts are difficult to approach head on. So by approaching them through movies like this that are dark, but we can recognize them as fiction, is one of the healthiest ways to, like, be able to consider these ideas without taking on the whole brunt of it.
So I can understand that, and I can respect that, and that makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, there's a lot of people that you need to be able to meet them where they are at,
mm-hmm.
kind of, because there's some people who, I mean, like, using an example of, I hate to go into this, but, like, looking at, for an example of Europe in the 40s, mm-hmm. and, like, there's still, like, generational trauma through that.
Right.
Like, you wouldn't go to somebody whose, like, grandchildren have been through that, and then have them go through, have them watch, like, a movie about it as well. You know, you got to be, like, sensitive to what other people are going through.
Yes.
And it's not, and I'm not, like, at the level, and it's maybe not, like, at the same way that, like, I saw this movie, but it's just something that, you know, you got to keep in mind that different people can handle different things.
Yeah. I guess I approach things more culture, like, I get what you're saying with the individualness of it, and yeah. I think that's where I faltered. I'm thinking more wide scale, which doesn't always work.
Yeah.
You can't, like,
and it makes a lot of sense. I can see where you're coming from on that. Like, these are issues that do need to be addressed and do need to be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
There's just a way to do it for a person that can be more individualized and more appropriate.
Okay.
Sort of.
No, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I've been staring at a doorknob this entire conversation.
I'm sorry.
No, I literally just was so intently listening to you guys that I just realized I was staring directly in front of me at that doorknob.
Right.
Like, the point not of space in front of it? Or
no, like, or literally, just, like, I'm staring directly at that fucking doorknob.
You're just so enthralled?
I'm just listening through my headphones to you guys discussing this, and I'm like, that's a pretty doorknob. No, I'm just, okay, like, so zoned out.
So the opposite. Okay. Yeah. I was about to ask your thoughts on the human condition and confronting.
You don't want that. You don't want that. You're about to ask me my thoughts on the human condition.
Okay, so we have humanity is fundamentally good, mm-hmm. on Zeev's end. Humanity is animals and fundamentally whatever on my end, and some chaotic mess of comprehension, I'm going to guess. That's the word I'm going to put it. Chaotic comprehension for humanity on your end. And that's just going on what I know about you.
Explain what you mean by chaotic comprehension.
Like,
let's dive into how you think I see the human kid. I'm not going to explain myself, but I damn sure need you to explain yourself.
Here's the thing. I know that you believe that life has meaning, but you also know that life is very chaotic.
I believe that let's be very clear. I do not believe that life in and of itself has meaning. Every individual has meaning in their life that they can find.
Okay. Got it. Sorry. There's a clear... No,
It's a subtle difference.
You're correct to correct me.
There is a difference there. It's not... I don't like the whole just, oh, life has meaning, everything's just going to work out fine. Mm-hmm. No, that's too la-di-da hippie bullshit for
Everyone
me.
Finds their own meaning.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. Every life has the capacity to have meaning.
Okay.
Whether or not you find it is completely on you.
Okay.
Viktor Frankl, logotherapy. Everyone seeks out their own meaning.
See, Zeev and I have discussed Frankl's work at length in the past.
Okay.
Yes.
So, by that logic, if in seeking for my meaning of life, I find that life is meaningless, do I fall under that concept?
Yes.
Or outside of it?
I mean, when you say meaning, Like, okay, when you say life is meaningless, so it's that doesn't really mean anything because everyone has their own meaning.
What I mean to say is that...
Let's get rid of the word meaning.
Okay.
Because the word meaning is meaningless in this context.
Okay. Yes.
What is your... Do you think your life has purpose? What is your purpose?
We are apes. We are hairless apes that wear clothing. Ultimately, our purpose is the exact same as every other animal on this planet. Reproduce. Live.
Survival.
Survival.
Survival is your purpose.
Yes. Survival until
it's
you
still
get
a purpose.
That's still your life's purpose.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I would be hoping that you would have something a little bit more.
I would hope that you'd be. I would hope that you would say something more along the lines of, "I think my purpose is to educate and entertain."
I'm not saying my purpose. Yeah. I'm saying in
no,
general.
We're asking your purpose.
Oh, I don't have a purpose. I'm just an ape wearing clothing arguing with a
okay. So your purpose is survival.
Yeah. Okay. And finding joy wherever you can.
Okay.
That's
your purpose.
No,
that's not a purpose.
That is.
Yes, that is purpose.
How is that a purpose?
I mean, it doesn't have to be something sophisticated, even if you
Gage.
Have some kind of
okay.
thing
no,
that
no,
you're living
no,
for.
No,
shut,
okay.
Gage, Gage, shut the fuck up for a second and let me explain you.
Okay.
You just said, life is meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
We're all just apes wearing clothing trying to survive.
Yes.
And let's try to find joy where we can. Sit down and let that sink in and take it to its logical conclusion that maybe just the idea of you thinking, okay, the world is dark and messy and terrible, but joy can be found.
I agree with that.
Yes.
There's a difference between my personal life and life in general.
Yeah, we're not asking life in general.
Okay,
we're asking
personal
you personally.
Life is just, but that's completely subjective.
Okay.
Yes, that's the point.
That's the problem.
Ignore the thought that life in general has a purpose, because that's not
what we're discussing. Okay. We're not discussing life in general. We're discussing every single person's life has the capacity to have purpose.
Okay, I'm realizing where I get my wider viewpoint. I'm not saying this as like I'm thinking bigger than you or anything. No, I'm realizing this comes from a place of growing up in an incredibly Catholic school and being told like there's a bigger plan for everyone.
So, but it's also the fact of, I think just in general, you tend to look past the human.
Yes.
And it's both good and bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, like, I definitely see why you're trying to take a step back and look at everything as a bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get into philosophy, you really can't do that without things getting way too fucking messy and never getting anywhere.
Isn't... What? No.
Psychology.
Okay. Yeah. No, you...
Sorry. I misspoke.
No, it's fine.
I realized
fine.
Where I fucked up.
It's fine. Okay. No,
psychology.
I get what you're saying. You, like, blew my mind for a second. Like, wait a minute. What the fuck are you talking
to
about?
To be fair, okay, I do also believe that philosophy on a smaller scale also makes way more sense. But let's just table that conversation.
Okay, back to... Okay.
This is the deepest that a review show podcast has ever been.
Well, we were
anyway. We need to go on a field trip to go get food before we play D&D.
All right.
So, thank you guys so much for listening. We're gonna continue this conversation at some point because I love when Zeev is also in the room so that I don't just get angry about Gage's viewpoints on philosophy and psychology because it legitimately upsets me.
Okay.
So having Zeev here to temper me
I could go for another half hour on psychology.
Me too, but I'm hungry.
Yes, me too.
Let's do it over subs.
I think we
let's not.
Okay,
I think we reached a good point with philosophy.
We'll table this for now.
We'll table it for now.
I'm going to consider this one a win. Win on team purpose.
Yes. Yay.
Woo.
Woo. Yeah.
That was the worst hand
There's weird table geometry happening here, okay?
I would have tried to get closer, but the mic was in the way.
I just need to describe this to you. You both went for the high five, realized that you were about a foot off, and then you both scooted in again, and then had to scoot in one more time to get the weakest sounding high five I've ever
seen. There's weird table geometry. There are boom mics in the way that we're trying not to bump because that's bad audio.
Yeah, yeah.
And but, you're just trying to find any flaw in us currently.
Yes.
Doesn't matter, high-fived. Thank you.
The audience doesn't know that that was just me. Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll be back next week with Elysium. You guys know what to do. Links in description. We'll see you next week. Stay sticky and huff the black goo.
Or don't. If you like a one movement jaw.
Probably a better idea not to.
Don't huff the black goo.
Yeah.
Huff the goo. Huff the goo.
Bye.
No chant.
Okay. No.
No. No, we're against this.